Under the pot.
Oh my, what is that?
This is called the bottle brush crayfish. It's native to the Green River in Kentucky. And it's one of the top two largest species of crayfish in West Virginia.
Okay.
Or not in West Virginia, in Kentucky, that's wrong.
Okay.
So he's a big guy.
Zachary Loafman is a professor of biology at West Liberty University and one of about 9 crayfish biologists in the country. He just pulled what looks to me like a small green lobster out of an aquarium. It's big. Its claws outstretched reach at least a foot wide. And this is no fish story. This is a crawdad story.
If you would have told me when I was here at West Liberty as a student that I'd be naming new species in West Virginia, I would have looked at you like you were a crazy person. I never in a million years saw this avenue actually come into light.
Get him talking about crawdads, and you'll see what raw, genuine enthusiasm looks like.
Any second of any day, I will look for crayfish. Period.
Yeah, spend enough time with Loafman, and you might start to love crawdads, too.
My field crews, they laugh because we normally get up in the morning, we're out looking for the crayfish. We stop, eat lunch, maybe, keep looking for the crayfish, eat dinner, and then most of the time we don't want to sit and just stare at each other, so we go back out with our headlamps on and keep looking for crayfish. So it's pretty much in the summertime, when we're out doing the field work, it's perpetual.
That diligence is certainly yielding returns. His latest crawdad species has been dubbed Camberis hatfieldi, after the famous feuding family, because it's found in Mate Creek, the same creek on which the Hatfield's homestead was built. Loafman has been studying crayfish for about a decade. He says he chose crayfish because, well, no one else really has. A lot about crayfish is shrouded in mystery, from simple things like, how long do they live? To more complicated queries like, how do they raise their young? Loafman says all that mystery makes the job very exciting. Nothing but discoveries.
We definitely found out that they aren't little robots. They all kind of do their own thing. We had some animals that spent an entire month and a half underneath one rock. We actually thought maybe they're dead under there. And at the end of the study, we flipped the rock and there he is, you know, waving his claws at us. We had other animals that we put the transmitters on. And every single night, they moved half a football field up and down the stream. We had one animal that would go from the head of a riffle down to the bottom of a riffle, you know, over the course of a night, and then go back to the head of the riffle the next night, and then go back to the bottom of the riffle. We had absolutely no biological explanation for that, but you know, he did it. So they're quirky, and that's one of the things that I absolutely love the most about them.
Today you can find more than 60 crawdads living in a variety of aquariums in Loafman's West Liberty lab. And so many more, pickled and cataloged. It's crazy. And for all we don't know about them, we do know that they are the third most endangered animal group in the country.
There's a species in the coal fields right now called the big sandy crayfish. And in the late 80s, it was known from 17 streams. And we've spent a tremendous amount of time in the coal fields looking for this animal. And it is now only known from 3 streams.
Oh, wow.
It's definitely on its way out.
Loafman is super passionate about natural history and conservation.
We now know the number one threat to crayfish across West Virginia, and that's sedimentation.
Loafman says not finding crayfish in a stream is a pretty good indicator that something, or more likely someone, has disturbed the ground in the watershed around the stream, causing sediment to clog all the little spaces between the rocks where crayfish like to chill.
If you do anything to the floodplain or the habitat, the hillside, up from a stream, it's going to basically result in a lot of sediment getting into the creek.
Loafman goes on to explain that while they are still working to discover all the roles that crayfish play in stream ecologies, one key role is creating avenues by which many other stream dwellers move about.
So when the crayfish go away, you see this net cascade loss of diversity because all the animals that are kind of dependent on them slowly but surely phase out too.
In addition to habitat disruption and stream sedimentation, Loafman says invasive species often introduced by fishermen are another big threat to crayfish.
It's been proven in other states, is one person repeatedly bringing crayfish from one stream to another stream.
Loafman says when folks use crayfish as bait, it's really, really important to the ecology of the stream for them not to drop their living leftover crawdads into the stream if the crayfish came from somewhere else. Apparently, it's a pretty competitive world in crawdad land, and we can really mess up the balance of power by flinging crayfish about. Okay, little known fact, West Virginia has 30 species of crayfish that we know of so far. Well, in Europe, they have like 8 or 9. And someone from the U.S. up and popped one of our species, all covered in this fungus, into one or some of their streams. That's really bad news, because that fungus is deadly to native European crayfish.
As these native European crayfish are wiped out, our guys take over, and North American crayfish behave a little differently than European crayfish. They dig a lot more. So you end up with stream bank failure, you end up with a loss of diversity. It's having economical impacts.
Loafman says there are a bunch of crayfish biologists in Europe now because the invasion is so problematic and ultimately wreaking economic and environmental havoc. But his efforts remain in Appalachia, where he says he has plenty to keep him busy.
If you go to places like the Mon National Forest and collect crayfish, I'm a very happy guy and everything's wonderful. If I drop down onto the plateau near any of our big cities, you know, Wheeling, Parkersburg, Clarksburg, Huntington, Charleston, then we start to get a little bit sad because the crayfish numbers are down and the sedimentation issues everywhere.
So if we leave you with anything to remember from this report, it's this.
If you're fishing in Wheeling Creek, get your bait from Wheeling Creek. Don't get your bait from Wheeling Creek and then drive over to the Potomac River and use that bait. And that is actually the absolute worst thing you can possibly do, because that's how we end up getting invasive crayfish.
Please tell all your fishing friends. Seriously. Thanks. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.